dedicated to them by the Robinson family in memory of their dear friend and teacher Simon Goldberg, Zichrono Lebracha, of Cape Town. Shimon Ben Dov Ber, Zichrono Lebracha, on his first yahrzeit, the 9th of Kislev, that's tomorrow. Oh, no, today.
Today's the 9th.
By the way, I made a mistake. That doesn't happen very often. And most probably if this mistake happened, it was most probably Min HaShemayim for some reason or other. I have the dates wrong for this year today. I have both the Kislev date. I was looking at Monday in my calendar, not on Tuesday. Now I know that I'm not perfect. Now, by way of background, you may or may not have noticed, and don't look now, that the second sheet, second page, you're receiving this week for the third time. So I'll give you the history. 2 weeks ago, Parshas Toldos, the shiur was dedicated to expressing one idea. I'll remind you what I said at the beginning of the shiur 2 weeks ago. It was Parshas Toldos, and I decided that I'm going to focus on the whole story of the blessings, Yitzchak, Esav, Rivka, Yaakov, and I said that it's important when studying Torah to read Torah and not read into it. And I said, you can find people that are going to make up all sorts of their homegrown Torahs, psychological ones. Rivka and Yitzchak have a relationship that is a strained one. Why in heaven's name can't you just walk in and tell Yitzchak, you want to give the brachas to Esav? Esav is a big Russia. And then, of course, you can take it all the way back to the very first time that they met. She sees this man coming, she slides off the camel. In a sense, the relationship begins as some kind of a strained or whatever other word you want to. So they didn't talk to each other. And I described that, it's a dysfunctional family. And in a dysfunctional family, of course, you can end up with one Esav and one Yaakov. And the whole idea of deceiving him. I said that all of that was nagashkeit. And that we were going to learn the parasha. And it was specifically according to the Ksav HaKabbalah. And everybody emerges from the parasha as people of dignity and honor. And there was an explanation for everything that took place. But I didn't finish this year 2 weeks ago because I was studying the Ksav HaKabbalah. There were a few major portions that I hadn't dealt with, and I felt the lack that I didn't do this. I said, I'll do it next week. So then came next week, which was last week. And I really gave you a different lesson over there to be able to see that what it appeared, because I was overwhelmed by the feeling that there are psukim in Torah that talk to us in the here and now. And that we can sometimes just run through the Torah and not even realize that the Torah is speaking to us. And that's why I dealt with three psukim then, or three parashiot. Avimelech telling Yitzchak, Lech me'imonu ki otzamto mibenu yod, leave, because you have grown wealthy from us. You robbed us. I, the pasuk earlier, had said that Vayivorecheu Hashem, God had blessed Yitzchak, that he had bountiful fields. No. And then, of course, the story of the wells. They had stopped up all the wells of Avram. Yitzchak goes ahead and digs them. And then they argue over the wells. Lonu Hamayim. What do you mean Lonu Hamayim? Yitzchak and his men had just dug a well. And they come saying, no, the water is ours. Everything is ours. And then, of course, we ended up with Lavan at the end of Parshas Vayetze, who tells Yaakov, Habonim bonai, the sons are my sons, Habonot benotai, the daughters are my daughters, Hatzon tzoni, the sheep is all my sheep, the cholata, everything you see belongs to me. So I said, that's it's true 4,000 years later, the same thing. We own the banks, we own the insurance companies, we're robbing people blind all over the world. Everything is belongs to them. Kever Rachel belongs to them now. All right. Okay? But I didn't get last week to completing those two magnificent pieces of the Ksav HaKabbalah. So you find them again for the third time. Big question is, are we going to get to that today? So now, sit back, you better relax. You should have your seatbelts on. Because I'm going to try my very best to control myself, but I think it's going to be extremely difficult. You know, I'm usually a very calm person. And number one, don't ask me any questions about this article until the end of this year. I read this, and to put it very mildly, I had difficulty with this. It's an article on Parshat HaShavua somewhere. Let's read. I believe the issue is far more complex. Not important what issue. You'll understand already from what's being said. I believe the issue is far more complex and harks back to Abraham and the confused legacy he bequeathed to his sons. The confused legacy he bequeathed to his sons. How somebody's pen, and this is a Jew who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, how a Jew who's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, how his pen can write that Avraham Avinu bequeathed to his children a confused legacy when 4,000 years after Avraham, the clear message that Avraham gave for the world is alive and well. A whole world is sustained by the clarity of Avraham Avinu's message. But to his children, of course, he babbled, and to them he left a confused legacy. Our children watch us carefully to perceive our deepest values and desires. They learn not from what we say so much as from how we act and whom we admire. Abraham was chosen by God to be a blessing for the world because he discovered ethical monotheism and would teach succeeding generations compassionate righteousness and moral justice. This is the familial birthright and Abrahamic covenant. That's not the whole story. But Abraham was also a wealthy cattleman. You know, the kind that you see on a box of Marlboro cigarettes. Avraham Avinu is a wealthy cattleman, military hero, maybe with a patch on one eye, and a highly respected leader. He had a firstborn son, Ishmael, who was an aggressive conqueror who feared no man. He also had the religious, righteous, and introspective Isaac. Abraham is naturally drawn to this wild and ebullient firstborn. We're in heaven's name! Did this guy pick this up? He's naturally drawn to this wild ebullient. Where did he pick it up? He made it up! And what's the proof that he wants to bring to this position? Because he says, and when God informs him of the impending birth of Isaac, Abraham suggests, would that Ishmael walk before you. Lo Yishmael yichye lefanecha. This is supposed to be proof. This is supposed to be proof. That what? That he is drawn to this ebullient wild man. And what? He doesn't want any more children? I don't know, by our children, if they have one, they want two. They have two, they want three. Now, some of them who have 10, want 11. I mean, what does he mean to say? What's wrong if Avraham says to God, halavai that Yishmael should live before you? And we're going to see what the Mefarshim have to say about the pasuk. All right, now, God blesses Ishmael at Be'er Lachai Ro'i, and Isaac remains obsessed by this place all of his life. You know that I'm learning this only in order that my Shepsalach over here should see the nonsense that is being written and called Torah. What do you mean he's obsessed by it? The Nitziv and the Malbim say Be'er Lachai Ro'i is the place where no less than four angels appeared to Hagar. That most probably was the first place that was considered a holy place. Yitzchok would go to daven at the Be'er Lachai Ro'i like we go to daven in Shul or to the Kotel. He's obsessed with it. What do you mean he's obsessed with it? What are you talking about? Be'er Lachai Ro'i, of course, is the place where Hagar was promised that she would give, guaranteed by the Malach, that she would give birth to a son, Ishmael. So now we've turned, well, I understand it now. Yitzchak has to be obsessed because his father has given him a confused legacy. His father, the discoverer of ethical monotheism, who's also a cattleman from Texas, has, of course, a confused legacy. So poor Yitzchak is obsessive. He's obsessive. I mean, I know a few good psychologists here in Yerushalayim, a good friend of mine who wrote a book about obsessive behavior. But this poor Yitzchak is obsessed by this place all his life. He's constantly going back and forth from there. The Nitziv and the Malbim said he davened there every day. He davened Mincha every day at Be'er Lachai Ro'i. That was his obsession. Okay? I'm going to calm down. It may take till an hour after the shiur is over for me to calm down. All right? But watch, it's going to get much worse. Despite the fact that God tells Abraham through Isaac, listen to this, you got to read it. I'm telling you, either I don't understand, if you can suggest what it means, just listen to this sentence, it's awesome. Despite the fact that God tells Abraham through Isaac shall your seed be called, Isaac is going to be your son. Isaac lived under the dark suspicion that his father really preferred Ishmael. The obsessed Yitzchak is living under the dark suspicion that his father really liked Ishmael. And listen to this, it's terrible. And hoped that the Akedah would completely remove him, Isaac, from the scene. Avram wants to get rid of Yitzchak. You remove Yitzchak from the scene, then Avram can have an idyllic existence with Ishmael for the rest of his life. Did I read it wrong? Is there another way to read it? Not to read it, please. If you think that I'm overdoing it, if you think that I'm reading into this, what it does is say, I don't know how else to read it. Somebody wants to get rid of Yitzchak because Avram prefers the wild, ebullient Ishmael. In a similar fashion, the more passive Isaac was drawn to the more aggressive Esau. Then, just like Avraham, since we have already established as absolute fact and Torah Mishmaim, that's true without doubt, that Avraham chose Ishmael. How odd of Avraham to choose Ishmael, but he chose Ishmael. You know what? Confused and obsessed Yitzchak is going to make the same miserable mistake that his father made, and he is going to choose Esau. In a similar fashion, the more passive Isaac was drawn to the more aggressive Esau, which is why he initially summons Esau for the birthright and the blessings. Jacob desperately yearns for his father's love. He's also sick. He's an unloved child. A latchkey child that comes into the tent and his father isn't there. And perhaps for that reason is quick to heed his mother's advice. You may not remember from 2 weeks ago, but we may have, I think I gave 7 or 8 proofs from the text by reading the text that Yaakov was reluctant every step of the way. He didn't want to do it. Maybe my father will feel me. And then everything, Vayovo, Vayelech, Vayikach. And I pointed out that Ksava Kabbalah says, whenever else in Torah we have people going and doing something, by Avraham it says, Vayimayer, and he hurried, Vayovats, and he ran. Rivka, Vatimaher, Vatorat, she ran. Eliezer, Vayimayer, Vayorats. Over here it says, Vayelech, Vayika, he went and he took and he brought. And then when it comes to putting on the skins on him, his mother puts it on him. He doesn't lift a finger to do anything. She places the food in his hand. Vayavo, and he comes to his father. By Esav it says, Vayave, he brought. Every step of the way, it's clear from reading the text that Yaakov refuses to go. And it doesn't only because he has to. And that's why Chazal, our rabbis, were absolutely right, and I quoted that. Kofuf, Omus, Ubocha. Yaakov goes to this deceit of his father, bent, coerced, and crying. But not so by our writer here, and perhaps for that reason, is quick to heed his mother's advice. The man didn't even read the simple text of the parsha. It's unbelievable, I tell you. After all, the Abrahamic legacy includes material success, military prowess, and aggressive leadership. Thus he decides to assume not only the garb, but also the inner characteristics of Esav. In the aftermath of his deception, he indeed becomes Esav. Yaakov Avinu Bechir Ha'avos, the chosen one of the others. Avraham Yitzhak the Yaakov, this man just wiped the floor with each one of them. Each one of them has been turned into somebody who has some kind of a serious problem. This is the Avraham Yitzhak the Yaakov that we as Jews recognize, the ones in whose favor we pray at. Is this a picture of Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov? God Almighty! Okay, the last paragraph is stomach paragraph. Doesn't make any difference. Okay, alright. So let's take a look at what else we have over here. The Malbim. Number two. The Malbim is talking about the Pasuk. Eliezer is coming from Paddan Aram with Rivka on the camels. And at the same time, Yitzchak is coming from Be'er Lachai Roi. That well was called Be'er Lachai Roi by Hagar, because at that place she saw Roi, she saw Malachim, angels, 4 of them no less. And in a sense, like, this therefore becomes a holy place. They had no holy places then. What holy place was there? except also for another place that was not nearby. That was the Sodeh. Let the Malbim speak for himself. It happened that when Eliezer is coming back, bringing Rivka to the house of Yitzchak, Yitzchak went out toward them. Yitzchak bo oz midarko. He came from the path he would travel all the time. Every day at this time, he would be coming back from Be'er Lachayroi. Ki Be'er Lachayroi haya bein Kodesh u'bein Bored, between those two towns. And earlier it said, Vayisa Mishon Avram Arzah HaNegev. Avram had journeyed from there to the land of the Negev. Vayeshe bein Kodesh u'bein Shur, Shuru Bored. That's where the family was living, in the Negev, between Kodesh and Bored. V'shomnit Yashav Yitzchak Beretz HaNegev. Al Ha'ayin, by the well, Bederach Shur. V'shomnit Yashav Yitzchak, and that's where Yitzchak settled down, Beretz HaNegev, in the land of the Negev. V'yan Sha'aber Hazer Hayam Makom Kadosh Bo'etahi Al Yedei Shemitra'e Sham HaMalach. And since that Be'er had become a holy place because the angel had appeared there, Hoyo Yitzchak Holech L'shom B'chol Yom Achar Chatzos L'Yitbodet Shom. In the afternoon, every afternoon, he would go there in order to meditate. V'lachazal, and our rabbi said, Yitpalel Shom B'chol Yom Tfilas HaMincha. I think we are all, whatever shul we daven in, according to the writer of this magnificent piece of literature, we're all obsessed with our shuls. And we're obsessed with our shuls all of our lives, just as Yitzchak was obsessed with Be'er Lachai Roi. Taken Be'er Lachai Roi to be symbolic of Yishmael, and Yishmael is somebody Yitzchak doesn't like, and therefore the obsession of Yishmael is transferred to the place Be'er Lachai Roi, and therefore Yitzchak remains obsessed with Be'er Lachai Roi. By the way, if you didn't understand the word I just said, that's okay. That's much less confused than what he's saying over here. Let's go further. The Yitzchak bo Be'er Lachai came from the Be'er Lachai Roi. He used to come from there, because that's the place where he used to go. And a few lines further, he says, "V'hayoyotzei tomid lifnot erev, toward evening, he would go out there. Be'et tfilat hamincha lasuach basadeh, he went to speak, to pray in the field. Hayul his bodeitshan v'lishpoch sicho lifnei Hashem, and to pour out his heart before God." All right, we don't have to do any more. That's all we have to know over here. Be'er Lachai Roi is a holy place. That's where Yitzchak davens. He's not obsessed. This has no relationship to Yishmael. Nothing to do with it at all. This is God. This is where he davens. Bahamik Dover. I'm not going to read it, go the whole thing, just the... But V'yitzchak bo, V'hamek Dover is the Nitziv of Toli Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Lozhen Yeshiva, the great Yeshiva of the Lozhen. Siper HaKosov, the Pasuk comes to tell us, Ki Hamechin Mitzadei Gover, the one who prepares the footsteps of man, Yidbarach, blessed be he. Sibev, he brought it about, Sheyivga Yitzchak b'Rivka baderech, that Yitzchak should meet up with Rivka, as she's on the way to his house, he's on the way out into the field, and they meet there. Utehiniv etet mimenu, yes, she should become frightened, because she sees him coming from davening. And there's a glow, there's a sanctity, there's a halo over this Yitzchak. Utein if etet mimenu betchilat hakarata, until from the first time she sees him. V'im hoya ha'evet boim motchilo lebeis Avram, if she would first come to the house of Avram, hoya Avram mekabla tchilo, Avram would have received her first. Umedaber al liba, he would speak to her. Ad shahayam mitchonein da'atala, until she would calm down. V'lo ha'itan if etet mitachad Yitzchak, she would not have been frightened from Yitzchak. V'hoita mitnahet imel kol isha imbala, he would have conducted himself with her like every husband and wife do. But no, there is, according to the Netziv, a certain distance that is created between Yitzchak and Rivka. And it's not Rivka, it's Yitzchak. Roshan wants that she should realize that this husband is one who was ready to give his life as a sacrifice on Har HaMoria. This is not just another human being. This is a human being who is endowed with great sanctity. He's not obsessed. He's not nuts. He's not off the wall. And you can't talk about him in the kind of street terms that the writer of our piece over here wrote about him. Yitzchak is a kedosh elyon. And beware how you speak of him. This is the way we're supposed to look at Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're not our buddies. They're not our friends that we can talk about them, maybe even in terminology that we wouldn't even talk about our friends. He's obsessed, he's straight, he's confused, all of these terms. By the way, there is an approach, so-called approach to Torah, to the study of Torah, which is called in Hebrew studying Torah begova heinayim. Gova heinayim means at my eye level. I have the right to read Torah like it's me, the boy from Brooklyn, learning Torah, and I can see in it whatever my little wicked heart desires. I obviously reject that completely. And you see, you want the proof? Take a look at what that approach gave birth to. This piece of rubbish. And it's worse than rubbish. It's ugly. That's where learning Torah on my eye level, that's what it leads to. This is ugly. All right, let's go further. The Hamigdava. It was the Rebbe Shem who caused Yitzchak bo b'oto eit mibo be'er l'chaydo. It was God who created the circumstances by which Yitzchak meets her for the first time, meets up with Rivka for the first time when he's coming from be'er l'chaydo. Shahayalo oto makom miyuchad l'tfila v'hidbodedut al be'er shenid'e hamalach. It sounds nearly the same words that were used by the Malbim, two giants of Torah, using the same terminology. He was coming from the holy place where the angel had appeared, and he went there to ponder, to meditate, to daven. Let's go a few lines further. Pasuk Samad Gimel Vayetze Yitzchak Losuach Basada. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Kva Pirush Vazal, or rabbis explains, Shehu Yidbarak Mitpalel Mincha Shekovahu. He went there to daven the mincha that he is the one that established. Avram is the one who authored or composed Tfilat Shacharit, Yitzchak Tfilat Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu will be Tfilat Arvit. That's why it says Losuach, she tfilah kivua. All right, enough. You got that part of the story. Let's go to number four. Our writer proves that Avram preferred Yishmael, because when God told him that he's going to have a son, Yitzchak, Avram's response was, Lu Yishmael Yibye Lifanecha, if only Yishmael will live before you. So he's interpreting it as meaning that, what? I don't need no Yitzchaks. Don't give me no Geisha Glickin, you understand? You know, I got one wildly brilliant son whom I love fiercely. I don't need any more children. Unbelievable. All right? So it says, the pasuk before it said, God tells him that you can have another son, Yitzchak, and be Yitzchak Yikara L'chazara. Yitzchak will be one who will be called your seed. So it says, I'm starting the beginning of the Malbim, number 4. Vayipal Avram fell upon his face, and he left. Over there, the Mepharshim say that the word tzachak means he was overjoyed. Hinei tzachak v'samach al habesora. He was very happy about the news that he's going to have another child. But there was, it was so wondrous in his eyes. Vayom v'libo, in his heart, Avram said, Haleven, me, I'm 100 years old, I'm going to have a baby. There are 3 things here that are wondrous. 3 wondrous things. Mitzidi, from my side, that I'm 100 years old, Haleven, me, or sona, Yivalei, Veinze, Bederech HaTeva, Af im Haisha Yolda, even if the woman had given birth before, but you know, she's 90 and I'm 100, you know, a little strange. V'ot shnei plios mitzat sara, there are 2 other wondrous dimensions here that are because of sara. Ha'im sara teileim achashi yakara, first of all, that sara would give birth after she'd been barren. Habas tishim shana teileim afim lo haitakara, even if she would have given birth a number of times in her lifetime, but not to give birth again at age 90, all wondrous. Vayomer Avram. Avram said, and this is where he's going to make that statement, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefonecha, if only Yishmael would live before you. Vayomer Avram. Balken Chosho Avram Beliba, Avram thought himself, Achashu Nes Shelo Kederach Hateva, since this birth of Yitzchak that is going to happen is a miracle that is so unnatural. Vashem lo yase nes levatolo. God does not make a miracle in vain. Achashel kayem haftachoto shiyeli zera kvanit kayem biyishmael. If it is to fulfill an original promise from years earlier that God said, I will have children, that was already fulfilled with Yishmael. Why is this new child coming into the world? To fulfill that original promise that you'll have children, it was fulfilled already. Unless Avram is concerned that one of 2 things may happen with Yishmael. God knows that Yishmael will die, and he has to make sure that Avram is going to have another child to fulfill the promise to Avram that he'll have children. Or lest Yishmael turn out to be a great Rasha, and he will not be the one who will carry on, I'm going to say it, the Abrahamic covenant. Right? So he says, V'alkein choshav Avram, believe Avram thought himself, Achashu nes shelo kederach hateva, V'ashem lo yase nes levatolo, God doesn't make a nes for nothing. Achashu lekayim haftachoso shiyeli zera, fanit kayim b'Yishmael. The promise that he made that I will have children was already fulfilled with Yishmael. Al kocho, it must be, sheyodei Hashem sheYishmael atid lamut, must be because God knows that Yishmael is going to die. O sheyeh rosha, or he's going to be such a rosha, ad shelo yikuyam bo haftocha, that he will not be the one through whom will be fulfilled the other promise that you made. Lezarachon atati atodetz, your seed I've given this land. ולכן מוכרח לנוסס ניסים גדולים כאלו כדי לקיים הבטחה הזאת. God is going to make all of these great miracles that Sora and I should have a child under these impossible circumstances only because something is going to happen to Ishmael. So therefore he says an innocent statement, let Ishmael live before you. He's not telling God, don't give me your Yitzhaks. Keep your gifts to yourself. Because I love this wild, ebullient Planko. No, not at all. But Avraham Avinu is compassionate. It's his own kid. And he doesn't understand why God has to make this great miracle that he and Sarah should have children. So he says, Lo Yishmael Yechiel Lefanach. That means that he has chosen Ishmael over Yitzchak. How do you make a statement there? Where did everything you didn't get it from? Now the Eibishter are people. That's the end of this part of the shiur. Maybe if I will be overcome with real anger, I may tell you at the end of the shiur who wrote that piece. It may be a mitzvah, but I'm not so sure yet. I'm getting confused signals. Rabbi Kahana told me to say who it is, but my wife has motioned to me not to say it. So we'll see, you know, so it's a suffix, you understand, it's a suffix. What you're saying is that I should listen to my wife and not to Rabbi Kahana. All right, I'll tell him.
Whisper
it. All right, now, third week in a row, we're going to go through that first piece of the Ksav HaKabbal. And you know what its point is now? When we've seen how ugly you can turn a parsha in Torah. Let's take a look at the opposite, how beautiful a parsha in Torah looks like to our rabbis. Difference day and night. Vayikras Esav, this is when he calls Esav and tells him that he wants to bless him before he dies. And therefore he wants him to go out into the field, hunt, and bring that kind of food that, like matanim, the delicacies that I like. So of course that's another problem that people deal with, or people don't deal with. They just decide that, you know, Yitzhak is like a good steak. So, well, what do you want, you know? There was no papagaya, so you know, you have so Papa says to Esav, go ahead and make me a steak. Ksav HaKabbal says the following: Esav in the Chilta to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, a Tanaitic explanation of Torah from no less a figure than Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Hahuzin the Erev Pesach Hava. The day that Yitzchak called Esav to him was Erev Pesach. V'chein the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel also says Ba'arbei Sar Nisan. It was the 14th day of Nisan. Ubepirkei the Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Hurkinus. A Tanaitic. Another Tanaitic medrash. Mvur Yotze. There it's explained in greater detail. V'hocha iti hatam. And this is what it says there. Quote. Higia Leil Pesach. The night of Pesach was going to arrive. Koro Yitzchok Le'esav. Beno Yitzchok called to his son Esav. Beno HaGadol. His older son. V'amalo and told him, B'ni, my son, Zeh HaLaila. This night, Kol HaOlam Kulo Omrim Bo HaLeil. This night, the whole world says HaLeil. Kloma, Ksav HaKabbal explains, Sha'atidin Yisrael Lomar, B'leil Zeh HaLeil. In the future, the Jewish people are going to say HaLeil on this night. Al HaPsachim Va'al HaNisim Sheyitzias Mitzchayim. for the Korban Pesach and all the miracles of the Exodus. Now watch how beautiful it becomes. Now it becomes poetic. Va'otzrot t'nalalim niftachim b'zu halayla. The storehouses of dew open on this night. Just imagine nighttime, the dew begins to come down. Dew is always considered great blessing. V'tein tal umotol v'rocha. It's spring, it's the 14th of Nisan. Tonight, the great storehouses come down on the world. Aseli matanim, ad shani ba'odi avarechecha. Make for me the delicacies, ad shani ba'odi, while I'm still alive, and I will bless you. V'ruach HaKodesh Meshiva. Ruach HaKodesh responds. Yitzchak doesn't hear it. But we are told that Ruach HaKodesh, there's a voice that comes and says, Al tilcham et lechem ra'ayin. Don't eat from the food of a person whose eye is bad. Don't eat from this Esav. He doesn't know that. Yitzchak doesn't know that. But this is the editorial comment that comes from heaven. Omra Rivka leYaakov bino. Rivka says to her son Yaakov, Halayla hazeh, tonight, the whole world says Hallel. In the future, Jews are going to say Hallel on this night. The same thing. And tonight is the night that Otzrot Tlol and the storehouses of dew are open on this night. It's a night of great blessing, great joy, great significance, meaningful to the history of this people that's going to arise from you. This night is the night that your children are going to be redeemed from their enslavement. And this night in the future they're going to sing great songs to God. Make delicacies for your father as long as he's alive, and he will bless you. This is still the Medrash. He went and he brought two goats. This is a good question to ask. Is that what Yitzchak Avinu eats? Two gesunde goats? Not one goat, two goats? In other words, what the Medrash is saying, read the psukim, don't read into them, read the psukim. When it says that he brings two goats, that should trigger an association. Why two goats? So he says, Ella, v'chishnei gedoyei izim hoyom ha'chalosh Yitzchak. Yitzchak was such a groyse esher, he needs two goats. So you have to understand what two goats represent. It's clear that it represents that. Ella echod k'neged ha'pesach, v'echod la'asot lo ma'tamin le'achol, d'tamin ha'pesach, enim echol, ella la'sofa. The halach is that the korban pesach was eaten at the end of the meal after one was sated. Just one little bit before getting sated. And all you ate was a kezias. You didn't sit down to a great shtick, flesh of Korban Pesach. There was a meal before. The two gedoya yizim, one is the meal, and the other is the Korban Pesach. And the fact is that there are two korbanos that are brought on Erev Pesach. There's the Korban Chagiga and the Korban Pesach. Those are the two gedoya yizim. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, here, he brings it clearly. The Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel says, Chad l'shun pischa, one was for Korban Pesach, the Chad l'shun Korban Chaga, and the other was for the Korban of the Chag. V'yidah li, l'yidah, l'fishal alayla, zil amar akosuv, about this night, the night that Yitzchak is going to eat from that which his son brings him. That's the night that's called Leil Shimurim. Now watch the beauty, what beauty over here. Leil Shimurim is what the Pasuk is going to say in Parashat Bo, that this night of Pesach is a night that is set aside for God for all times. Great miracles happen for the Jewish people on that night. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem Shoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer. God watches and waits for that night to Mitzapelo. God already then was looking forward to that great night when he will be able to fulfill the promise that he made to Avraham Avinu, that I will take your children out. That was the night that he told Avraham about that night, and he goelet bonecha, I'm going to redeem your children. But Tezvav v'Nisan, watch this, it's even more. On the 15th of Nisan, Nigzra Gzeda Brid Ben Avtorim in Pasha Lech Lecha, God enters into a covenant between the pieces with Avraham. And it's in that covenant he says that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years in a land that's not theirs. And afterwards, I will judge those who tortured them, and I'm going to take the Jewish people out to freedom. That was already said to Avraham. Now, more than that. B'tetvav b'nissan nolad Yitzchak. On the 15th of Nisan, Yitzchak was born. Do you know what this night is? This is Yitzchak's birthday. And you know why this is so significant? Because according to the Torah, when do the 400 years begin? With the birth of Yitzchak. Everything begins from this night. It's his birthday, and his birthday represents the beginning of the enslavement of the Jewish people. You know what Yitzchak is going to be doing on this night? The words are going to come. Oh, they're going to come right away. And when I saw this, I tell you, I was just overwhelmed. I had given a shiur some years ago, I gave a shiur. What was the Seder like the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim? Everybody, they had to eat matzah. They had to be ready to move. Makelchem b'yedchem, you're walking sticks in your hand, food on your back, ready to go. But wait a minute, they haven't been redeemed yet. What are they saying? I eat this Korban Pesach because in another few hours, God, you are going to pass over these our houses. I eat this matzah tonight because you're going to redeem us. Do you know what the act of the Seder in Pesach was? An awesome act of great confidence and emunah, trust. God is going to take us out. We sit down by the Seder and we eat this Pesach because you did it. This matzah because you took us out. They are celebrating. I remember what I said then. They're celebrating the 4th of July 1776 on the 3rd of July 1776. They are celebrating Hey Iyar on Dalad Iyar before it's happened because of the great faith and trust that it's going to happen. You know what Yitzchak is doing? He wants to make his children, or his child to begin with, he wants to make him part of Jewish history. You're now going to live the history of your people throughout all of time. You're going to have a shiur on absolute faith and trust that the Rebbein Shem will fulfill his promises. You're going to sit down with me to the Seder. We're going to celebrate it before Jews have even gone into exile. That's an act of such faith. It's much more than a leap of faith. It's becoming a Jew whose whole being is made up of Bitachon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go a little further. When we should know that Yitzchak, from the time Yitzchak was born, Nifkayen ki ger yezaracho, from the time that Yitzchak was born, the gezeira, the decree that your children will be strangers. Yitzchak is the child of Avraham, and he's really a stranger in the land because it doesn't belong to him yet. That's when the exile begins. From the birth of Yitzchak until the Exodus were the 400 years that God had told Avraham about. Lachem, therefore, hishtadel Yitzchak biyoter lishmor laylo zeh v'lasot bo dugma lepesach yotzei Mitzrayim. This was one of the great acts of piety of Yitzhak, that he always took that night, and he turned that night into a model for what would be the night of Pesach. This is a night of great sanctity. Those are the otzos, the storehouses, the dew that brings blessing down upon the Jewish people. Let's go a few lines. You see where it's underlined? We have to skip a little bit, or I'll have to give you the same page next week for the fourth week in a row. You know, so I can't do that. Lahoros al habitochen hagomor bo yidbarach. It comes to teach us the absolute trust in God. Beyotam mechinim atzmam lederech, that they're preparing themselves for the journey out of Egypt. Bo'odam b'beit hakele, while they're still in jail. All right, now I got. Then up on the next column, up at the top, he says, "V'dima hamishore b'ruach hakodesh et chipozon l'shchino l'tzvi hamidalei u'mekapetz l'maher et haketz l'halotam mitzrayim." The Shlomo HaMelech in Shir HaShirim describes the redemption as the deer that go running through the forest with haste. A deer. How a deer knows how to. Yeah. Domed Dodi, my beloved, is like Domed Dodi Litzvi. My beloved is like a tzvi. And that's going to be the model for the haste with which Jews are going to go out. They're carrying everything with them. They're ready to go out. And you know what Yitzchak had told Esav? Go latzud li tzayid. Go and hunt for me tzayid. The word tzayid means not only that which we hunt for, but tzayid also became the term for tzeda laderech. You go out on a picnic and you take food with you. That's called tzeda laderech. Why? Because the hunters who would go out to hunt would prepare some food with them. Yitzchak wanted all of these things to be alluded to in order to leave the impression that this is like the exodus from Egypt that's going to come. Gemara says that a gedi, a goat, tastes like a tzvi, like a deer. So he says, l'chein rotzo Yitzchak lasos dinyan lazer. Yitzchak wanted to make something that is symbolic of it. L'tzud lo tzayit chayo tahora v'hu tzvi. U'beloshin shoma Yitzchak v'tzudo li tzayit. All right, the next piece is okay, that's a little difficult. Go down further at the bottom where it's underlined. Hayotze lomu mikol hadvarim ha'ele. From all of this, what's the sum total that emerges? Ki ha'artilat ha'matamim hayula sivat hazman. The delicacies that Yitzchak wants to eat has nothing to do with his ravenous, ebullient need for flesh. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. It was an achila of sanctity. Ki achilat ha'matamim hayu l'sivat hazman, the time. It's Erev Pesach and it's going to be Pesach night. Hazman goram l'achilas mitzvah zu. This is an eating that is mitzvah. Not an eating that is to think that, you know, oh, and I feel good, you understand. I have myself, get this little flesh, and then we have a cigar after it. Then I'm going to be in the mood to bless you. Oh, no, 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 no. What Yitzchak wants to do is he wants to initiate his son Esav, whom he hopes may very well be the one who will carry on the tradition. He's hoping that. Does a father ever lose hope? about a child? Do you think Esav pulled the wool over Yitzchak's eyes? Never for a moment. Yitzchak knew exactly what this Esav is. But what do you do? What do you do, throw him out of the house? Or maybe you just bring him in to the beauty of the Jewish home. An Erev Pesach. An Erev Pesach. Children never forget an Erev Pesach on a Pesach night. He wants to draw that Esav to him in the hope that maybe by giving him the brachas, who was it? Was it Shakespeare who said, there are those who are born to greatness, there are those who rise to greatness, and there are those who have greatness thrust upon them. Yitzchak may want to thrust greatness upon Esav, and he will therefore have to carry that historic, holy burden that is Klal Yisrael. It was this particular time that caused Yitzchak to bless his son. This night is the night of blessing when the storehouses of dew open up, livracha, for blessing. What was the beginning of the first blessing he gave? Let God give you from the dew of the heaven. What he wants to explain with this is something else. Another question is this. Yaakov didn't ask for delicacies because before he blessed his children. Moshe didn't ask for delicacies before he blessed the Jewish people. Why Yitzchak? This is the reason. The day, the time, thrusting upon the son who's going to get the blessing, thrusting upon him the holy burden of Jewish history that begins with tremendous faith and trust in God, faith that he will fulfill whatever promise he made. So he says, that's why he's asking the question. The Lo came also Yaakov, Yaakov didn't do that when he blessed his sons. Moshe Lo also came. Moshe didn't do that when he blessed Israel. Valzeh, here Buham Mefarshim Dvarim, Kishui HaTzizah. The Mefarshim said so many things about this, and it's difficult to explain them. Gam Le Divreim Shayim Hatam Lassus Bamachon Aroy Le Nefesh Amaroy. It also leaves, according to the Mefarshim, it leaves the impression Eitzreis Tilolim, right? Leaves the impression as though the Matamim were the reason they brought about the bracha. It says, no, that had nothing to do with that. The bracha is because it's the night of the 15th of Nisan. Night of the 15th of Nisan. Let me ask you. When you walk away from a piece like this, do you have a feeling that there's a great deal of depth in these parashos of Torah, and that there's holiness, and that there's sanctity, kedusha tahara, purity? We're not dealing with fathers who love a brilliant evildoers, children who are obsessed with all sorts of mishigas. We are talking about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the pillars of the world. Kedoshei Elyon, we can't even come to their anything. How does a person have the chutzpah, the gall, the audacity to speak that way about Yitzchak and Yaakov? Staggers the imagination. I cannot understand it at all. I just wanted to show you that there's a lot of stuff that passes for Torah that is the absolute antithesis of Torah. And I think we've given you in the last few weeks a real approach to Torah.